I'd like to say a word about even more, you know, reducing the size of the radiation therapy portals even further than is done now. So my radiation oncology colleague, Oren Kalon, and I wrote a viewpoint for JAMA Oncology entitled, Can Radiation Therapy Be Given More Safely in Early Stage Hodgkin Lymphoma If Necessary? And we suggested that in PET-negative patients, there may be, even with bulky disease, there may be a 5 to 10% difference in relapse rate, although an excellent salvage. Could you cut down the potential risks of the radiation therapy by further decreasing the size of the portals? So instead of radiating all initial sites, as is done in all standard radiation therapy now, we suggested that maybe if you have a small mass, say in the mediastinum, maybe just radiate the residual mass. So in this brief viewpoint opinion, we did a theoretic portal and an actual portal for involved site radiation therapy and what we called residual site radiation therapy in a patient who was treated with involved site radiation therapy with that thing. We did a theoretic residual site plan. And the involved site plan had substantial exposure to the heart, the dosimetry to the heart, lungs, and breasts. Whereas in this particular patient, possibly due to the location of the residual mass, we got it way down to less than 1 gray. So this is actually being investigated in our current clinical trial in the cohort that got what they call consolidation volume radiation therapy. And actually, I've looked at the treatment plans with the radiation oncologist. It's very interesting. Some patients, you can really get the dose down if you just treat the residual site. Other patients, not as much. And it depends on the size of the mass and kind of the location of the mass and so on. So I think reducing the ports of radiation therapy when it's used is something that's under investigation. And I think, as I say, my friends who are radiation oncologists in breast cancer really pioneered this concept, I think, in breast cancer, where they're trying to do the same thing.
Well, that study that you're doing with the BV-AVD with the four cohorts sounds really interesting, you know, trying to just, you know, without trying to do a really long randomized trial, you just go out there and try stuff and see how it works. I like it.
Well, you know, you're right. I mean, but it's 30 patients in each arm, so it's going to be kind of hypothesis generating. I mean, it's not going to be powered to really show a difference between these different cohorts. But I think definitely hypothesis generating, and I think it's a very good study.
Well, again, forgive me for using the breast cancer analogy, but there's this sort of very well-known trial where they just did one arm of this low-toxic, you know, minimally toxic therapy, trastuzumab and paclitaxel. They got fantastic results, like I think 2% Mets, whatever, but it was only one arm, but people took that and did it, and, you know, maybe this kind of approach, you know, gets results quicker.
Yeah, phase two studies. We showed the same thing with 164 patients in a phase two study that was powered properly as they did in the over 1,000 patient HDH10 study, which they had to stop because of the stopping rule and so on. So, you know, I mean, I think that, the gold standard is randomized controlled trials, no question. But I think that phase two studies properly designed and powered can give important information of clinical relevance.
And sometimes the randomized trials, they just take so long to get done. By the time they report, they're not even relevant. But anyhow,
well, it's more of a problem with Hodgkin lymphoma than breast cancer because Hodgkin lymphoma is much less common than breast cancer.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it takes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So before we go on, though, I'm just kind of curious, these two patients, these two women, the 25-year-old and the 19-year-old, how did they actually present? How did they find out? Did they feel a node or what happened?
Yeah, I don't recall exactly. I think they both felt a node. You know, I mean, that's very typical. Neither one had B symptoms, fevers, night sweats, or weight loss. And, you know, that's very typical. Somebody's taking a shower and they say, how did that get there? Or they're shaving and, you know, that's a very typical story. I don't remember exactly with these two patients, but I think that that's how they noticed it.